The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You and I understand that Christians have a responsibility.
Next, James and Betty Robison, along with Dr. David Jeremiah, stress the importance of getting involved in choosing our nation's leaders.
Most everyone is telling me that this may be the most important election in our nation's history. Here is what you and I can do to make a difference.
Stay tuned and discover what you can do to shape the future of our nation.
Welcome to all of you. We welcome you to life today. I'm James Robison. Betty and I are grateful for this opportunity to speak to you. I think we are at one of the most pivotal, critical moments in our nation's history. Those of you who are watching us all over the world must understand that I am referencing not only what's going on all over the world as far as spiritual need, but in our own nation. We're facing a very important moment. I'm actually trying to focus the attention of the American people, not just on an upcoming election for national leaders, but on a direction for the nation, because we need a course correction. We need to stop digging ditches. We need to stop walking in blindness so often as blind leaders leading the blind into a ditch of debt and defeat and despair and depression and division and dissension. And we need to offer healing. I have on my lapel a Christian vote pen. I'm offering the Christian vote pen. There's actually a website where you could direct your friends to the website. Today, however, I will gladly send you two of the pens if you will ask for the book Indivisible, which I believe is a textbook out of the valley, out of the ditch, out of the air of defeat and the debt and the division, and offering the solutions. And of all things, Betty, I wrote this as a Protestant, evangelical, highly visible, with a Catholic philosopher, Jay Richards. And both the Catholic leaders and the Protestant leaders across the board embraced it and endorsed it. It's an important time for you to get this. If you say, okay, what are the answers to all the social issues? What are the answers to marriage and family? What about poverty and how we address it? What about education? How do we correct these things? And what about the economy and how do we, it's all here. And we'll gladly send it to you. Interestingly, we'll send it to you if you'll simply help us rescue young girls and women from being trafficked in the sex trade. So we're asking you to have a part in that. But now, Betty, you and I understand that Christians have a responsibility. And you and I have been appalled to know through surveys. Now, think about this. Now, just listen to me. It's very important you hear this, especially, and I want you to zero in on me here for a moment, because I want to talk very directly to you as though I was seated across the room where we were real close, or perhaps it's to an entire congregation. Now, listen very closely. As believers, as people of faith, we have been left here as witnesses of Him, with a commission to make disciples, not only of individuals, not merely of a church family, but of the nations. In other words, if we're going to be an answer to the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray and the prayer that He prayed in John 17, that we be one with the Father and perfected in supernatural unity with one another, but also the model prayer, which we so often call the Lord's Prayer, and that incredible phrase that says, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, wait a minute, not in heaven someday when there's no more challenge. In other words, when there'd be no need to put on the whole armor of God because there's no conflict. No need to call us more than conquerors because there's been no battle to win, no enemy, no obstacle to overcome. He has left us here as witnesses. And interestingly, in the Sermon on the Mount, when He's talked about our attitudes, which God knows we need a lesson in attitudes among believers and certainly among politicians and leaders nationally, we need a healing of our attitude and the dissension and division. We need to understand what it is to have dialogue and debate and discussions that lead to meaningful solutions. In that Sermon on the Mount, he said to us as believers, you are here as salt and light. Now, if you understand anything about the nature of the two, you understand that salt is unquestionably, throughout all history, it's a preservative. It preserves the precious. Of course, it adds and enhances flavor. And certainly, Christians should enhance every aspect of life. But we should certainly fulfill the main quality and characteristic, and that's preserving the precious. Protecting the innocent? What about the preciousness of life? Are we doing it well? What about the most innocent, helpless in the womb? How safe is that anymore? Should that matter to the salt and the light? What does light do? The moment light comes on, you see everything that's out of order and out of place. You can correct it or you can neglect it. But at least it reveals the situation. It reveals the way out of the wilderness. It reveals answers. And Jesus said, you're a light. And he said, don't hide it. Now think about this a moment. Christians, you say, how do you get it under a cover? He said, don't put it under a bushel. Don't put it under a cover. How might we as Christians hide the light? We simply live in the light and radiance of God's presence in our family or our situation or our church. But we don't pierce the darkness. We don't look beyond our little comfortable world and begin to make a difference in a world that's upside down in its worldview and its direction. You know what Jesus said about salt that loses its effect? He said it's good for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men. Would you please consider the fact that much that is sacred and precious is being trampled under the feet of men? We make mockeries today of Christian businessmen. We're going to sit back and tolerate an assault on everything that is precious. Our freedoms, our opportunities, and we're going to create more class warfare until we not only are concerned about the greed of the farmer and the fact that he thinks too much about himself by building only bigger barns, even though he's provided jobs and opportunities and a harvest. But he's wrapped up in himself, and Jesus said he's a fool. Now we're not only going to say greed's a problem, we're going to condemn the fertile fields of opportunity. We're going to destroy the possibility of having the means and wherewithal to address any legitimate need. And by the way, if there's a legitimate need that needs to be addressed, should it not be addressed by everyone who says that's a problem? Should we not all somehow want to assume responsibility rather than hand it off to somebody else that we can teach everybody else to resent and hate? Right now, 68 years I've been on this planet, we face the most important decision in the upcoming election in my lifetime. And it's about principle. It's about worldviews. It has nothing to do with persons or parties, but rather belief systems. I want you to listen to a pastor do what I think is going to have to happen if America's going to be healed. I want you to listen to Pastor David Jeremiah. He's a great Bible teacher, a great author. He has a tremendous television ministry, pastor of Shadow Mountain Church in Southern California, in the San Diego area. I want you to listen to a charge that he gave not only to his church, but to the church, to the community of faith here in America, and I believe around the world. Listen to Pastor David Jeremiah. I suggest that you play this on Sunday, on Saturdays if you meet on the Sabbath. I suggest you play this in your churches. You can pull it down off lifetoday.org. You may want to play everything you've just heard and end with this. Here's Pastor David Jeremiah.
Just a few days ago, we paused to celebrate 236 years of freedom as Americans. Here in San Diego, in the church that I pastor, we celebrated with stirring patriotic music, pageantry, and indoor fireworks. We also placed over 1,000 medals of honor around the necks of our veterans and those currently serving in the military. This year, among those we honored were 21 wounded warriors from the Naval Hospital, several surviving heroes from Pearl Harbor, and a young corpsman who has served 5 tours of duty in Iraq, 1 in Afghanistan, and was headed back to Afghanistan for his 7th appointment. Each year, as I watch these brave men and women come forward to receive our gratitude, I wonder if what we have allowed to happen in our country is worthy of their sacrifice. Today, America seems to have lost her way. Wall Street columnist Peggy Noonan sums it up best when she writes that there is across America a sense that the wheels are coming off the trolley and the trolley is off the tracks and hurtling forward toward an unknown destination, that in some deep and fundamental way, things have broken down and can't be fixed or won't be fixed anytime soon. Financially, we are in a deep hole and continue to dig that hole deeper. People have lost their homes, and along with losing their homes, many have lost their hope. Spiritually, we have marginalized the Bible, we've trivialized marriage, and we've neutralized the church. America today is in great turmoil. It feels like the soul of our nation has been taken from us. Now, most of us here are fully aware of the precarious situation in which we find ourselves, economically, spiritually, and politically. And yet, at the same time, if we're honest, we feel rather powerless to do anything about it. Now, I understand that feeling of helplessness, but I want to tell you that we are not helpless. In this election, we will determine who the men and women will be who will lead us in this critical hour of our nation. Most everyone is telling me that this may be the most important election in our nation's history. Here is what you and I can do to make a difference. First of all, we can pray. The Old Testament teaches us that if we humble ourselves and pray, God will hear from heaven and heal our land. And the New Testament assures us that the fervent prayers of righteous men can make a difference. Yes, we can pray. And secondly, we can register and vote. In the last election, less than half of those who were eligible to vote were registered. And of those who did register, less than half of them actually went to the polls and voted. Our young men and women give their limbs and their lives to assure our freedom, and we don't even trouble ourselves to vote. No wonder we are in the mess we are in. Some say to me that they don't vote because they don't believe that one vote makes any difference. But the truth is, you are you, the only you in the world. Edward Everett Hale put it this way, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something, and I will not refuse to do the something I can do." History is full of stories of single individuals making a difference. Think of the many military battles that turned on the heroism of one man. Think of the men and women of the Bible and the men and women of history who believed in the power of one and changed the world. If we are honest, the real reason we don't vote is simply this: we are indifferent. And yet we are so vocal and critical when things do not turn out the way we want them to. Several years ago, during a class in political science in a Christian college, there was an unusual amount of complaining over the seedy politicians that had been elected in the recent election. Yet when the professor asked the students to raise their hands if they had voted, only 2 of them raised their hands, and the rest of the class admitted they had not even registered. Well, the professor told the class, "For the rest of the semester, if you didn't vote, you have lost your right to complain in this class." Years later, the students still remembered that class. As Christians, the Bible tells us that we are to be salt and light in the world. And the time has come for us to let our voices be heard and our votes be counted. And this time when you vote, Don't vote your geographical location. Don't vote your religious denomination. Don't vote your political affiliation. Don't vote your racial identification. Don't even vote your union obligation. This time, when you vote, vote your values. Vote your beliefs. Vote your convictions. And if candidates want your vote, let them earn it the old-fashioned way. Let them make commitments to your values, and let them know that you intend to hold them responsible. Over the last years I've traveled, I have been asked this question over and over again. Dr. Jeremiah, do you think God is finished with America? But that is the wrong question. The right question is America finished with God? Over these next days, as we pray and register and vote, we can send a strong message to the watching world that we are still one nation under God. I'm David Jeremiah, and I approve of this message.
Every pastor in America that has the Father's heart and the Shepherd's heart needs to encourage people to take a stand. Jesus said, now think about this, to his followers, his disciples. That includes those of us who claim him as our Lord and our Savior, God as our Father, who believe faith is important. Jesus said, we're not only salt and light, but I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. That doesn't sound like a church picnic or a walk in the park. It sounds like we're going into conflict that necessitates that the Lord be our shepherd, that he prepare a table before us in the presence of all accusers and enemies, that he gives us all that we need to face every challenge. In the whole armor of God, we fear no evil. We pierce the darkness. We preserve and protect the precious. Register and vote. I would love to send you the Christian vote pens. I'd love to send you the book, Indivisible. This became immediately a New York Times bestseller. Many people believe that it could change the course of our nation. I believe it. I'm asking you to get it. And here's what we're asking you to do to get it. You can go to the bookstore and get it. You can go online and get it. But if you would simply help us as disciples of Jesus reach out to people who have been forsaken, who have been sold into bondage, of all things in sex trafficking, as little children that have been preyed on, and with promises to impoverished families that they're going to take the children, these predators, and give them a future. And then they take them into this trafficking. We can set them free. All over the world, we have in place the mission workers and relief workers, and we're building the homes and the places to rescue these. I want you to watch, but then I want you to help us rescue them. And listen to this. Some concerned Christians, some caring people said, if you'll help, we'll match your gift. Whatever you do will be doubled, twice the impact. I want you to watch closely.
You know, the old lady, they feed the small girl for the homesick with the foreigner. They pay money a lot for the steel virgin.
Human traffickers target innocent children who then become enslaved in a multi-billion dollar a year industry called the sex slave trade.
So imagine this, one girl taken from her family, whether she's kidnapped or tricked, but she is sexually abused over and over again, maybe 8 to 10 customers that she may have to service in one day.
We're fighting for children that can't fight for themselves, children that would be otherwise used in the sex trade or be bought and sold like animals for monetary gain. It's not right.
It's kids just like these that right now they're begging, but they are also bait for predators. If we don't get them off the street, they will be the next trafficked victims.
And when these children become enslaved and don't comply, horrible things are done to them by the human traffickers.
When I was a child, I seen a lot of things in front of my eyes.
They are cages somewhere like that. They are keeping a child as an animal. Just tied the hand, both hand like that, and that customer will have a sex with that child.
It is tragic what's happening to children, innocent children, and it's not right. Our hearts are burdened by all the children that are crying out for help today, this moment, that need intervention, that need help, that are waiting for someone to hear their cries. And we can only do it with your help.
It's so horrible to imagine that those things happen to little children, those precious little children begging, but also they're preyed upon by the predators. And they're taken and used. It's hard to even fathom people doing that. Hard to imagine that. But it's also hard to imagine, Betty, that we could look and know that we've got people in place and we've got systems that work and can build a haven of hope, and that we wouldn't respond to just do something. It looks like everybody would want to.
Well, I know as a mother, my first impression would be, oh, I want to go grab all those precious children and hold them in my arms and let them know there's a way out. Well, we can't do that physically. We can't gather them all up. But there is a way out, and that's through your prayers, first of all, but through your giving. We can provide a safe haven for these precious children that I feel like when I look into their eyes, they're opening their eyes every day wondering, is there any hope out there? Is someone gonna save me? Well, we can be that way for them. I hope you will join us.
Well, you know, we've got the people that were called there, like Carol Hart, you saw, that had those little children around them. We helped them build the largest home for people in that area in Thailand, which is the big sex capital of the world. And to see what has happened there, to take those children who've been trafficked and then see them singing and happy in a beautiful place. We're doing the same thing because of Model, because Giselle saw something that she said happened to me, and I can help these people, and found the situations in Nepal, which is not far from Everest, this great, incredible, beautiful mountain, and yet this terrible poverty, and then these precious children taken into the sex traffic, most of them into India and other areas. But we can get them out. She's the one that went in and said, once we get them out, we're gonna give them a trade. We're gonna teach them how to do something that where they can sell something and make a living. And we are giving these beautiful necklaces that they made. We'll send one to every one of you who said, I'll rescue one of those out of that trafficking. I'll get one of them out of that prison. And when you do it, it takes $128. It's gonna be doubled. It's gonna be matched, so you'll be rescuing two. And then think about this. Some people say, well, I couldn't give $128. That's a stretch for me. $64 right now will be doubled. And then you'll have enough to rescue one. So we're asking you right now to go to the telephone, dial the number, take your bank card. We really need to hear from every one of you that have any ability to help at any level, knowing it'll be doubled. If you can help us build that Life Center in Nepal, make a gift of $1,000 or more, please do that. We're sending the Lion and the Lamb bronze to say thank you. It's a beautiful collectible. We're sending the book Indivisible for any gift that you make. I mean, if you make any gift of any size, and we're also sending the Christian Vote Pen just to remind people of their responsibility, that we need to care about not only elections, vote, but also be concerned about praying about the direction of our country, because we need to make some correction. So we'll send this to say thank you, but I'm asking you to go online, lifetoday.org, dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check, but please make the best gift you can and know that it will be doubled because of the love and compassion of others who said, we want to help you have an even greater effect. Thank you so much for making that call. Thank you for doing your part.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who were survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, worldwide, there's 1.2 million children that are trafficked into the sex industry every year. That's two every minute. Those are facts. But you know what really concerns me? These are lives. It's our goal to reach, to rescue, and to restore young girls who have been trafficked into the sex industry. So please, go to the phone right now. Make that call, because without you, we can't do anything to make life possible in places like this. You're a vital part of the rescue.
I really want to encourage you to make the $1,000 gift or more if you can, and ask for the Lion and the Lamb bronze. This is an absolutely beautiful treasure. But what you give will be doubled to help us build that life center to rescue these girls in Nepal, one of the most impoverished areas in proximity of India. That's where they take them, from this impoverished area. And I'm asking you to help us with that. And then remember, whatever you do, you give $128 to rescue one from the trafficking problem and situation, you've rescued two. We're sending Indivisible, the hardback copy of a book that I think can change the course of our nation. If you really want to know, you want to change the statement, we perish for lack of knowledge, to say that's no longer true. We're going to have knowledge. Get Indivisible. We'll send you the Christian vote pens. And by all means, register, pray, and vote principles. Thank all of you for joining us on Life Today. Thank you for watching. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your support and your prayer.
Lisa Osteen Comas, the sister of Pastor Joel Osteen, shares the story of surviving a mail bomb explosion. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.